Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. You know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad coming to you here. Appreciate you guys tuning in on a Wednesday. Appreciate Rhino down in Studio X making sure everything is rolling and running and doing the things that we need it to do here on a Wednesday. Big week for Mississippi State as the NCAA tournament getting back underway, and Mississippi State back in the tournament for the second straight year, back on the road as a three seed in Tallahassee. That regional in and of itself, obviously not the big news surrounding Mississippi State baseball right now as the coaching search continues, but we definitely need to jump in and take a precursory look. Is that a big enough word?
That'll work.
Precursory look at this Mississippi State matchup, taking on the Northeastern Huskies. And if you don't know anything about Northeastern, well, that gives you something in common with me. I don't know a ton about them, but they are officially the hottest team in baseball. You know, we talked a lot about Southern Miss, and the, you know, prior to their loss to Coastal Carolina Sunday, they had won 18 straight baseball games. This Northeastern team has won 27 straight. They're 48-9 on the year. They have a team ERA under 3. Teams are hitting only .210 against them on the season. From a pitching perspective, they're very impressive because you know this is not a staff that's loaded up with guys that throw 96, 97, they're off, you know, they're throwing that hard slider at 88, 89. It's not like that. These are guys that throw low 90s, high 80s, but you can just tell just from looking at their statistics that they have great command of their pitches. And one of the things that, you know, when I followed Mississippi State this season is, and I think this is not just a Mississippi State thing. I think you see a lot of your power schools have this problem. The first time through the order, when you're used to facing SEC pitching and guys throwing in those mid to high 90s week in and week out, when you face a guy who can command the ball at a lower velocity, it's difficult that first time through the order. It's usually the second time where you've got a little bit more of your timing down, where you're able to take advantage of some things and get the bat on the ball. So I would encourage you all that if we're watching this game Friday evening and it is a 6:30 first pitch against Northeastern in the Tallahassee Regional, Florida State taking on Bethune-Cookman in the noon first pitch game. ESPN Plus, before you ask, but of course available on your local Super Talk affiliate if you're up here in the Golden Triangle, that's 96.1. I would encourage you not to throw anything at your TV if State, you know, through the first two or three innings only has one hit and kind of looks out of sorts. Let them get that first trip through the order before you start overly worrying about what Mississippi State's going to be able to do against this Northeastern team. 48-9 on the year. Like I said, 27-game winning streak. Away from home on the season, they are 25-8, 5-1 at neutral sites. Now, you know, the elephant in the room is that they haven't played a lot of great competition, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, as this guy, come on over here, as this guy would tell us, that's baseball, right? And in baseball, it's never just about the best team winning. If it was, then, you know, I'm pretty sure that somebody like LSU or Texas, I mean, you don't ever see teams going 55-1, you know, and it's for a reason. So this Northeastern team, it's going to be a case for Mississippi State where they just show up at the ballpark, put on the uniform, roll out there on the field, and next thing you know, it's 12-0, something like that. This is a Northeastern team completely capable of winning this game. State will be favored to win this game, and they should be. They're an SEC team. They have a more talented roster. And that's how that should go. But for the Bulldogs, they should be able to win. Now, that one thing I'm going to be interested in, and Justin Parker has not made this decision public as of yet, is how they handle the rotation. This is a debate we have every year. We have it on this show and everywhere else that, you know, how do you handle your pitching when you're in the 2-3 game? Do you want to throw your ace? Do you take the risk and try to save him? I live in the world of You want to win the regional, not the game. And if Evan Sieri, if you can't trust him to go out and beat Northeastern, then you, how do you trust him to go out and beat Florida State? Especially when you're talking about playing Florida State in a game, in a winner's bracket game where you're likely facing Jamie Arnold, who is one of the top pitchers in the country. Arnold, I checked out two different mock drafts this week. He's second in one and fifth in the other. He will be a high first round pick. And that's who you're going to have to beat if you want to advance in this regional. I think that's where you got to let Pico Khan go against him. Let Sieri pitch the game tonight, on Friday night, and then bring back Pico on Saturday. And then, you know, best case scenario, Carson Ligon's going in winner take all on Sunday. But if nothing else, you've got Ligon there to in the survival game, and then you can go to whoever. And the whoever is a good question for Mississippi State. You know, we saw Ryan McPherson on Tuesday in the SEC tournament, and honestly, outside of two defensive errors that weren't his fault, and then a bad pitch to a great power hitter, he pitched okay. I know it doesn't look that way when you look at the score, but he pitched all right. But can he be that fourth guy? Ben Davis, possibly. Do you go to Noah Sullivan, something like that? I don't know the answer if it goes four games for Mississippi State. But I would definitely throw Sieri on this first game. So we'll see how that pans out. Now, I feel like Mississippi State fans, by and large, they're excited for postseason baseball. They'd like to see the team do well. But everybody's eyes are on who's going to be the next skipper. Who's going to be the next guy in the dugout for Mississippi State. We're about to talk to our good friend Robbie Falk. He's going to join the show to kind of give you a condensed version of what we go into great detail on in tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. And that is that this search is starting to heat up. And the name that has been at the top of the board since the first day. And you think about, you know, when we do hot boards, I think back to the football coaching search. You know, my first board, I don't even think I had Jeff Lebby on it, right? And I had a guy like Jamie Chadwell on it. And by the end, Lebby was on it and Chadwell wasn't. Because things remain fluid and you find different names and you talk to different people and you get different information. And at no point have I done a hot board where I didn't have Brian O'Connor on it, and he has sat at the top for the past 2 weeks. And I'm just saying this about Mississippi State. Again, the word fluid has to be used. Things can change in a heartbeat. You never know what's going to happen. But what I would tell you right now is that Zach Selman has put together an offer for Brian O'Connor that, I may quote the great Vito Corleone, he cannot refuse. If he does refuse it, Mississippi State has some really good backup options. As you see on the board, if you check that out on the Twitter feed, Mark Wazikowski, Dan Fitzgerald, if those are plan B and C, they are outstanding plans B and C. But O'Connor is plan A, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, all the way to 7A, if you want to get up there. That's fine. Zach Selman has targeted Brian O'Connor. That's the guy he wants leading this baseball program next season. And he has put together a package in terms of compensation and in terms of what support Mississippi State is willing to throw behind baseball. And what I would say is this: Mississippi State is making it clear to candidates that they are going to support baseball at an incredibly high level, to the point where nobody in the country may support it more. They're going to put a ton of money into baseball. They want Mississippi State baseball to be an elite program year in, year out, no more inconsistency. Year in, year out, you can count on Mississippi State baseball being a top 10, top 5 kind of team, consistently challenging for the national championship in terms of facilities, in terms of support, NIL. It goes deeper than just the head coach. We're going to talk a little bit about it in when we talk to Robbie. Big time assistant coaching staff trying to be put together. Potentially a restructure of the way baseball scouting is done at Mississippi State. Take more of an MLB kind of approach to things. And I expect Mississippi State to land an elite coach. And right now, I got Brian O'Connor. I've had him on this list since day one. I'm going to keep him on this list until somebody says it's not happening. Everything I have heard, everybody I've talked to makes me think that Brian O'Connor is still the top choice, still the top candidate. And if Zach Selman gets his way, he will be the guy he introduces at a press conference within days of Mississippi State season ending. And that's the thing to remember, and we have to have a little bit of patience, is that when Mississippi State, State's not going to make any kind of announcement until the season's over. Now, is it possible that something leaks out between now and then if a deal gets done? Sure. But if Brian O'Connor is the guy, if State gets eliminated this weekend, then by next Tuesday or Wednesday, I would fully expect him to be installed as the head coach at Mississippi State. If State advances to the Super Regional, so on and so forth. That is my prediction for right now. If you said, Brian, make a prediction. Tell me who you think will be the next head coach at Mississippi State University. My prediction, my money, would go on to Brian O'Connor. If it's not him, then we'll see what happens with Wazikowski. I think Wazikowski would take the job if offered, but he's not going to get offered that job until Brian O'Connor says no. Will he say yes? Will he say no? Will he walk away from 25 years at the University of Virginia? We're going to find out pretty soon. All right, when we come back, Robbie Faulk joins the show. Let's go a little deeper into this coaching search with O'Connor and what we're hearing and what's the latest there. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Think for a moment.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad here with you on a Wednesday evening. Who's that guy across from me there? Who's that handsome devil? His name is Robbie Faulk. You know him very well from the Thunder and Lightning podcast. You know him from On Three. You know him from just being an all-around swell guy. You know, I saw right on the internet that you were chubby and short. You're not short at all.
Well, maybe slightly chubby.
Slightly chubby.
It was also pointed out that I have a lazy eye. That's breaking news.
I knew that, actually.
That's part of my...
part of your charm.
It's part of my mystique.
So it gives you what the French call a certain, I don't know what.
Yes.
All right. Mississippi State coaching search, starting to really heat up. You've been on top of this from day one. We've talked about it on Sports Talk Mississippi. The name that has been on every hot board that I've put out, it's been in every update that you've put out, is Brian O'Connor, the head coach at Virginia. It feels like Zach Selman not only targeted this guy as the number one prospect for his coaching search, but like it's going to be a disappointment to Selman if this isn't done. He's throwing a big offer from what we're hearing. At Brian O'Connor, it's like a Godfather offer. It's going to be really tough to refuse. And as you've been saying the past couple of days, it's just going to come down to, can I walk away from 25 years at Virginia to do a new thing or not? As it stands right now, I think you and I both feel confident that it may happen. That doesn't sound very, we're confident it may happen. But right now, it feels like it's trending towards Brian O'Connor and Starkville.
I would say that he is the heavy favorite right now for the position, and nothing is done at this point while we record this. As we said on the podcast, in the next 5 minutes of us recording this, Virginia could come out and announce an extension that keeps Brian O'Connor there forever. But I do believe there to be legitimate interest and have for the last few weeks from Brian O'Connor, the Mississippi State job. I think the fact that you have not seen some kind of announcement from either him or Virginia at this point is very telling, because the smoke is extremely thick at this point with Brian O'Connor. And I think that at this point it's pretty obvious that there is something happening between Mississippi State and Brian O'Connor. Whether or not he accepts the job is up to him. I don't believe there to be anything that's done one way or the other. But I think that he is the number one choice. And we always say when we do these searches and it involves Mississippi State and other coaches, usually the first guy that pops up, the first big name, is not the guy.
Right.
But Brian O'Connor has consistently kind of carried on here, and we're now about a month into this process, and he remains the number one target.
I've never seen a guy survive like three hot boards as the top guy.
Yeah. You always kind of start. I think back at Jamie Chadwell. He was like,
right. That was exactly the point I was going to make. Yeah.
But what I'll say about that is with Zach Selman so far, you know, Jeff Lebby was one of the names that we mentioned.
It was early.
Early. So yeah. He was in the mix. We have not seen a Greg Byrne, Scott Strickland like smokescreen thing so far with Zach Selman. Like the names that have gotten out, they've kind of remained the names. And I think that's what we're seeing here. I like right now, I would be a little surprised if it was somebody that came from out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
There's just been so much smoke around Brian O'Connor. He could turn the job down. But I think what you're seeing in college athletics right now is it's becoming increasingly more likely that guys that have been places for a long period of time or that have been happy with their situations, they're leaving those situations because they don't believe that they're going to have the same support that they could get elsewhere. And the reality of the situation is if you ain't got the resources in place in college athletics, it's going to be really difficult to stay at the top of your game. It doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. It's going to become harder and harder for you to compete at that level. Mm-hmm. And Brian O'Connor has been to the College World Series, I think, 7 times. He's been to 2 national title series. He's won a national title. He has been consistently one of the best coaches in college baseball. But the reality of the situation right now is Virginia is not going to devote the type of money and support that Mississippi State is.
Right.
And I think that has his attention. And can he tell Virginia, thank you for everything, I'm gone,
yeah,
and finish his career at Mississippi State? I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. But I do believe Mississippi State has his ear. And until proven otherwise, they're going to be in the game to land him.
And then to go a step further, as reported on your message board by Pete Nakos of On3 Sports, some big-name assistants, not for the head coaching job at Mississippi State, as an assistant coach at Mississippi State, it appears very clear that Zach Selman, one of the worst message board rumors of all time. It wouldn't make message board geniuses because it's so you have to be in the know to get it. But the whole Selman doesn't care about baseball thing, never mind being put to rest, it's being put underground.
Yeah.
So let's talk about a little bit about what Pete Nakos reported.
Yeah. So right now the scuttlebutt, and I've shared some information. I've shared some information with Pete. We've kind of shared some things back and forth.
You have a group text.
Yeah. We've talked about it a little bit, and kind of backs up what I'm hearing. Brian O'Connor reportedly has reached out to Corey Mascara at Wake Forest,
right,
the pitching coach who did amazing things a couple years ago when they went to the College World Series with their pitching staff. He is interested in if he comes to Mississippi State, bringing Mascara with mm-hmm. him from Wake Forest, which would be a monster.
If you're not familiar with Corey Mascara, first off, Wake Forest, what they've done as a program, a lot of it has been credited to him. I like Tom Walter as a coach, but Mascara gets a lot of credit, to the point where if State had hired Mascara as the head coach, if they had come out and said, look, we may not be able to move a head coach, but we can go get an elite assistant, and then they hired Corey Mascara, I would have been totally cool with him being the head coach at Mississippi State.
I think there's a lot of people that would have been happier with him than Tom Walter.
Yes, and yet the possibility exists somehow that he might just come here as an assistant. That would be, now we're getting out of grand slams. What's the level up from a grand slam?
And anytime I hear that stuff and it's coming,
you got to put,
it's really coming from the agent's side of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Anytime I hear that, I'm thinking, is Corey Mascara working for more money here? So that's something that we'll put on the back burner. But
mm-hmm.
it's enough. There's enough information out there from the Brian O'Connor side of things that makes me believe that is legitimate. At least that O'Connor's targeting him. I don't know what Mascara's response is on that, but I do know that State has as much, if not more, resources for him. We've heard a lot about the pitching lab at Wake Forest. State has a really good pitching mm-hmm. lab as well. So I think that, you know, that's going to be a seamless transition. There's also the opportunity if Brian O'Connor comes in, he could keep his staff together, or he could keep Justin Parker on staff.
Mm-hmm.
That there's a lot of things that can happen. All of them are good if Brian O'Connor is your head coach. That's the big thing. If Mississippi State can land Brian O'Connor as the head coach, they have landed a top 5 coach in college baseball. And with that comes a lot of notoriety. It comes a tremendous track record. And he's going to be able to sell now on a much larger scale because he's with a place that has more resources.
If it ends up not being O'Connor, one of the things you and I have both said is that Mark Wazikowski is a legit candidate. You know, there have been some people who have come out against that. I don't know why. It feels like it was pretty obvious that Wazikowski was going to be a candidate, that the interest is especially high from his side. That I think that he's the guy. O'Connor could I don't know. Selman offers him the job. I don't know. I think if Zach Selman says to Mark Wazikowski, you want to be our head coach, he says yes. And then the other name that's popped up in the past couple of days, and we only got a couple of minutes left, is Dan Fitzgerald from Kansas. That is, I think he is the clear number three guy on our boards and on our lists. But if that's the floor of this search, you've done pretty well.
Done really well. I think a lot of people would be disappointed if you didn't get Brian O'Connor at this point. But if your pivot is Mark Wazikowski, which, by the way, I don't think that he's been spoken to by Zach Selman for two reasons. I don't think that he wants to engage in those conversations.
He's still coaching baseball.
Yes. I don't think he wants to engage in those conversations just yet, and I don't think that Zach Selman wants to engage in those conversations just yet because he is focused, I believe, on Brian O'Connor. But I do believe with a very large certainty that Mark Wazikowski is very interested in this job. So if that's your number two, that's a heck of a number two because he's done some great things at Oregon. And then Dan Fitzgerald has done some really revolutionary things at Kansas, a program that has traditionally been bad. This year, they have 43.
You know how many times they've been in the NCAA tournament?
Well, they have been
prior to this year?
Five times. This will be his first trip, but it's year three. He took over a program that had four conference wins the year before he arrived. He got eight his first year. He got 15 last year. He's got 20 this year. So I don't think – and it coached under Dan Heifner at Dallas Baptist. He coached with Jay Johnson at LSU, so very well –
The resume is good. Resume is really good. I mean, again, if that's the floor of this search for Mississippi State, you're doing pretty well. So, and again, there's more to talk about with this. I would definitely listen to Thursday's Thunder and Lightning podcast. We go into a lot more detail about this, about some other stuff we're hearing regarding some new positions within the baseball program and the amount of support Mississippi State is willing to put into it. Robbie, thank you for joining me here on the live show. Appreciate you as always. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. That was our timer there, Robbie. Back in just a minute. It's Super Talk Mississippi, Thunder and Lightning.
Now's the time to get a great deal on select Kubota compact tractors. Rated number one in durability and owner experience. They're designed for easy operation and feature performance-matched attachments. Right now, put zero down and get 0% APR for up to 72 months, plus save up to $800 on select equipment. Now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Divinity Equipment Company, on Highway 51 in Madison and at the end of Spring Ridge Road in Clinton. Pure Air Consultants has always been your go-to for reliable and affordable heating and cooling systems, and now we're offering an additional product to avoid the 25 to 30% increase that everyone is talking about. With Day and Night, a Carrier family product, your professionals at Pure Air Consultants can install a reliable heating and cooling system with a 10-year system warranty. Pure Air Consultants and Day and Night, providing ultimate comfort for your home for an affordable price. Call us today for your free quote, 601-939-7420. That's 601-939-7420, or find us online at mypureairconsultants.com.
Dr. Michael Carter, known for creating beautiful smiles for over 30 years, is now taking patient appointments at his brand new state-of-the-art facility, 607 Crescent Boulevard off Highland Colony Parkway near Township in Ridgeland. You can expect the latest in dental technology for the whole family, including same-day crowns, veneers, and implants restorations. Call to schedule your appointment for an honest and sincere evaluation with Dr. Michael Carter, 769-933-5678. That's 769-933-5678.
Progressive knows
all your glass needs. Call Venable Glass Services. Glass Networks. They're going to try and steer you to use their own glass shop. Well, you can tell your insurance you want to use Venable Glass, and there'll be no additional cost to them to get the highest quality glass. Venable Glass is locally owned and operated, and they do windshield replacement and rock repair right there in their shops, or they'll even come to you in the Tri-County area for free. That's right, free mobile service. At Venable Glass, they also do frameless and frame shower doors, mirrors cut to size and installed, picture frame glass, table, tables, desktops, insulated glass, plexiglass, commercial storefronts, and heavy equipment glass. Venable Glass. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. They want to work hard for your business. Venable Glass. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturday, 8 to noon. Hey, there's two locations too, in Ridgeland at 660 Highway 51 North and Brandon at 209 Woodgate Drive South in Crossgates. Check them out on the web at VenableGlass.com. Remember, for all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services, 601-605-4443.
I'm Caleb Sailors. You're listening to Super Talk Mississippi News. The Greenville community is mourning the passing of local football standout Alex Foster, who was discovered deceased in Mississippi on Tuesday night. Foster, a former top 50 high school defensive line prospect and Greenville St. Joe product, was confirmed to have lost his life in the Mississippi Delta. Though details remain slim and unofficial reports are circulating online that he was shot, we have received confirmation that he passed away. Following his high school career, Foster signed with Baylor in 2024 and redshirted during his freshman campaign. He was poised to see action on the field in year two before his life tragically came to an end. At this time, no arrests have been announced by law enforcement officials in connection with Foster's death. You can find out more by going online to supertalk.fm.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from STMM Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today. You know that nowadays most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money? And a lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they aren't online. With the power of STMM Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referrals and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at STMM Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today. You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of STMM Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. STMM Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder. Well, now you got it.
Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. All right, we've had some really heavy sports news. Let's relax a little bit here and have a little bit of fun. Mississippi State Esports recently claimed a national championship. If somebody wins a national title, I like to talk to them on this show or on the podcast. Let's go to my interview now. I talked to a couple of guys from the MSU esports team. Let's find out what's going on in the world of video games here in Starkville. All right, as you know, we don't have a lot of hard and fast rules here on Thunder and Lightning, but one of them has always been if you win a national championship, we're going to get you onto the podcast. And we are joined now by two members of the MSU esports team, Mason Marchanda, who's the team captain, Gage Fullwood, team member and event director. Guys, I appreciate you coming on. I am an old school video game guy, so I enjoy seeing video games and esports, the amount of relevancy it's getting. So, Mason, sort of take us through the journey of MSU esports. You know, this is a program that has been winning a lot lately and has become a program that's, you know, I don't see the national rankings. I haven't seen the AP poll on esports or anything like that. But where right now in the nation would you rank MSU esports?
Overall, as a club, I think since we have so many different sports, I'd say easily we're ranked pretty highly among colleges. All of our teams tend to be very, very high skill levels, compete in various leagues. Obviously it's a little different than some of your traditional sports. We play in different leagues and stuff, but, I'd say at least for our team, for Siege, I'd say we can definitely compete at those higher levels. I'd put us in the top 25 team for sure.
All right, so you said Siege. What game is that for our listeners who don't know?
Yeah, so it's a game called Rainbow Six Siege, Tom Clancy. It was actually originally a book some people might have even read, but
I've read that book.
Just a tactical shooting game. It's
a 5v5, squad shooter game. You got people defending like a building, and then you got attackers trying to, you know, plant a bomb and, you know, take control of the map.
Okay. I've played that game. I played it back on, like, I think on the original Xbox, if I'm correct. So to give you an idea there of how old I am as a person. Is that the game that you guys won the national title in?
Yeah, so they have a newer version of it. I think you're thinking of, like, Rainbow Six Vegas. They used to have all these old story games and stuff like that, like military hardcore shooter.
Right.
Back in 2016, they had to recycle one of those games. Like 6 months before launch, they turned it into a multiplayer game, where you use all those operators from Team Rainbow, and
is that kind of the game of choice right now for you know, people your age? Is that the game that people are playing in these competitions more often than not?
The collegiate scene is honestly pretty strong for Rainbow Six. I would say the game of choice right now is probably Valorant, Marvel Rivals, CS2, and Rainbow Six. Those are like the top four.
Okay, what is Valorant? I don't know what that game is.
Valorant's a similar game. It's more like, if you've ever heard of like CSGO, it's similar but simpler. They have agents with abilities, but they just take a map and they have to plant the bomb. But it's not as tactical as Siege. It's more like gunplay oriented.
Okay, okay. And then the other game that I'm familiar with, in terms of, I've heard about it, I kind of have an idea of what it is. I know it's big in esports, is League of Legends. What is that game?
I'll explain that one because I played a good bit. That one's also a 5v5. A lot of games just happen to be that way. Mm-hmm. But that one also has people, those aren't agents. They have different people with abilities. Mm-hmm. And there's the goal of that game is to take the enemy's Nexus. So that's just the thing back in their spawn with a bunch of towers protecting it. And everybody will level up as the game goes on, and you have to purchase different items to make you better. That one takes a lot of brain power. That's a very smart and very hard game.
When I hear
that one's a bit different.
Take a Nexus. It makes me think of Battlefront. Is it similar to that?
Kind of not really. It's mainly just the...
Like, kind of, but not really.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, I mean, it's a similar idea, but...
Okay.
You can picture like those old like RuneScape style games. It's kind of like a click and point kind of thing.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I really date myself if I say I played a lot of StarCraft back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to be sure. I felt like I would. What is the tournament like? How are they set up? Who all are you competing against? And how does that tournament flow?
So for us, we competed in a league called NECC, and how that worked was, at the very beginning of our season, they kind of split it. There's two different seasons, so we had a fall and a spring. I joined this team back in the spring semester, and at the beginning of each semester, we have a placement tournament, because there will be different kinds of divisions, and we played in those. We actually won that out, so we ended up getting placed very high, and then... you'll have a regular season where we compete against different teams to try and get seedings to qualify for the playoffs. And then once we qualified for the playoffs in the spring, we went pretty far in those, which that gets us points to qualify for the national tournament. And I think we ended up placing third in the first playoffs in the spring. Mm-hmm. And then here in the fall, we ended up placing, I think, the same, if I'm not mistaken. Which got us enough points to qualify for nationals, which was a whole separate bracket full of a bunch of different teams. And we went all the way in that and ended up winning that.
So obviously when you're here at Mississippi State, one of the key things in any sport is to be able to beat Ole Miss on a regular basis. I've been told that that has not been a problem for the MSU esports team.
No. I know Gage will be able to talk more about that, but I know we host a tournament for that.
Usually have like an egg bowl every year that alternates between. Normally, we kind of destroy Ole Miss a little bit. Even when we had Siege around, we haven't had it recently because I think they just got tired of losing. So they just stopped having a Siege team. Yeah.
Yes. That's good. That's good stuff. So I'm a guy that plays video games when I'm off work, right? That's how I relax. This is something you guys do. I wouldn't call it work, but you know, this is part of you know, your this is what you do. What do you guys do? You guys play video games to when you're not playing video games, I guess is my question.
Speaking of which, I mean, even last night we had a practice for another team we're kind of doing to get better over the summer. Mm-hmm. A lot of, since this can be a job, this can be a professional thing, a lot of those teams will 8 hours a day play the game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not that serious. Mm-hmm. But during the school year, we like to set up practices. Obviously, you're going to take those a lot more serious than just casually playing a game. But we'll set aside time to scrimmage other teams and try and get runs in.
Do you guys play games that you don't play competitively?
Some of us do. Some of us don't. And Gage like to play a lot of games together. We like to play different kinds of games. Uh-huh. We have some guys on the team that pretty much only play Siege, and they're very good at it, obviously.
I can imagine.
I can't, like, I have to, even though, like, I might have like one or two things I'll do, I can't, like, compared to like playing sports, you know, I used to play like tennis in high school, stuff like that. So being on a computer all day is a bit much for me.
Yeah.
You know, after like 2 or 3 hours, I tend to clock out. So I prefer to go out and like work out, hang out with friends, that kind of thing.
I mean, nobody's going to be against you for that. I when I'm talking about like relaxing, I like to pop in like Red Dead Redemption and just ride on my horse for like an hour or two. Yeah. Just go sightseeing basically before, you know, I just randomly kill somebody out of nowhere. If somebody is, you know, if there's a youngster listening in high school and they're into esports and they want to come to Mississippi State and maybe get involved with the team, how do they go about doing that?
I'll let Gage take that one as well.
Yeah, so I mean, if you want to get involved with MSU Esports, it's not too hard. Normally we'll have like an interest meeting. We're trying to work on some events to reach out to high schools and try and go there and table a little bit, that sort of thing. We have tryouts in the fall and spring every year. You get through those. We're going to have a tryout week this semester, just events back to back to back. If they're just wanting to get to that skill level, one thing I would say is less is better. Don't think that you just need to sit in your room and play this game all day, every day. You know, quality over quantity, play some matches, you know, watch some pro league, just work on small things here and there. Know that it's going to take time. You're not going to just be able to suddenly become a pro by playing like 20 matches in one day, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, it's just like any other sport. I mean, you got to practice, you got to know what you're doing. You can't just show up at the football stadium and be like, yeah, I'm here and I'll play it. It's definitely the same thing. Last question. We had Mississippi State debate on last year when they won the national championship. They got me a really cool t-shirt. What are you guys going to bring me? Can I get one of those? I saw one of those, the like the uniform jerseys. I don't know if I
have one.
That's what I'm talking about. Like, what can I get, guys? What kind of swag can you
get? You one of those? We can get you a keychain, or we're looking at getting some nice compression sleeves. You know, get a little logo on there.
I will absolutely take a compression sleeve just to have that while I'm on the show. Chef's kiss. Yes, I will absolutely take that. Mason, Gage, I really appreciate y'all's time today. This was a lot of fun. Like I said, I've been playing video games my whole life, which, as you can guess, is a long time. My first system was an Atari 2600. That's how old I am. And really enjoyed this conversation. Congrats to you guys, and continue to dominate the esports landscape here in Mississippi State. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you.
Cal State.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Welcome Welcome back to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Appreciate you guys joining me here on a Wednesday evening. Brian Haydad here in Starville, Rhino in Studio X. The hazard lights are on. We're pulling into the dock on another successful trip here on Thunder and Lightning. I want to thank Mason and Gage from MSU Esports. As you guys know, if you've ever listened to this show or Sports Talk Mississippi or anything, you know I'm a big video gamer. Not like these guys are. I've never played Rainbow Six. I played it back when I was a kid. I guess a kid's not the right word. I was a young adult. Was I a young adult? I don't even know. But I find it interesting. And anytime somebody wins a national championship here at Mississippi State, we've had the irrigation troubleshooting team on. We've had the debate team on. Now we've had esports. We're trying to get the spirit team on. They won a national championship earlier this year as well. Hopefully we can make that happen. But I like to celebrate some of the stuff that happens in Mississippi State away from Davis Wade and the Hump and Duty Noble whenever I get a chance. So appreciate those guys coming on with us. Tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi, we've kind of divided this week up for these regionals. So we did Ole Miss. We concentrated on Ole Miss on Tuesday. Today was Southern Mississippi. Tomorrow will be a little bit more Mississippi State flavor as we look ahead to Mississippi State's matchup with Northeastern and then hopefully with Florida State in the winner's bracket on Saturday. So we'll look at the Tallahassee regional a little deeper on tomorrow's Sports Talk Mississippi. Also on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast, we have got a great interview with Isaac Trotter from 24/7 Sports, one of the top college basketball guys out there. I wanted to go in depth on State's transfer portal class now that it looks like that's winding down to get his thoughts on those guys. I'll give you a spoiler. He's high on them. He likes the group that Mississippi State has brought in. So we'll do that. Check that out on tomorrow's Thunder and Lightning podcast. A lot going on. A lot of work happening. Here, don't think for one second we're just taking it easy up here in Starkville. Before we go, let's just hit back on Brian O'Connor because I want to be clear on a couple of things as far as like the pecking order, if you want to call it that. It is 100% the order that I put on the hot board. It is O'Connor, and then Wasikowski, and then Fitzgerald. That's what I believe. I believe they will offer the job to O'Connor, and he will make a decision. If he decides to say no, if he can't tear himself away from two decades plus at Virginia, which I understand if he can't, Wasikowski, I think, is the next guy up, and I feel very confident he would say yes. And on the off chance, and I think it's a small chance that he would say no, Fitzgerald is the next guy, and I don't see any way on earth Dan Fitzgerald doesn't take the first train out of Lawrence, Kansas to come to Starkville, Mississippi and be the head coach of the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Fitzgerald's an interesting one. We haven't talked much about him. SEC background, he was at LSU. He was at Dallas Baptist with Hefner, which means, you know, that guy's an elite coach. So I'm sure he picked up some good habits from them. If State's floor of this search is a guy who has elevated Kansas baseball to where it is right this second, they've done really, really well. There will be disappointment, obviously, if you don't get O'Connor. I get that. There will be disappointment if you don't land Wasikowski. I get that. But if Fitzgerald's resume is far superior, in my opinion, to what Lamonis's resume was when he arrived in Starkville. And then, you know, this time you haven't made any promises about College World Series experience or anything like that. You've just been told you're going to go out there and get the best coach possible. If they decide that it's Fitzgerald, that's going to be the key. And the Mascara news surrounding O'Connor is incredibly intriguing. If State had just hired Corey Mascara as their head coach, if they had come into this saying, we want to go out and get the next top young assistant, we want to model what Tennessee did and hire the next Tony Vitello, and they decided that Mascara was going to be that guy, and they hired him as the head coach at Mississippi State, I would have been totally on board with that. The idea that State could possibly bring him in as an assistant, as a pitching coach, and pluck him away from Wake Forest and team him up with Brian O'Connor, now we're cooking with something here. Now we're talking about Mississippi State baseball being as good as it's ever been. We're talking about getting back into the national championship conversation with that kind of coaching staff in place. And the thoughts that Robbie and I didn't go too much into about possibly having a MLB-style front office, and I did the quote fingers when I said that, the front office as a group that could possibly handle scouting and player personnel and things of that nature. That would be something that, would set Mississippi State apart, especially when you consider the depth of Major League Baseball experience at Mississippi State. There are so many guys they could call upon and say, would you be interested in doing this? Who would have experience at the next level to do that? So should be some good days ahead for Mississippi State baseball. All right, back with you guys tomorrow on the podcast and on Sports Talk Mississippi. As I said, we will be focusing on the Tallahassee Regional tomorrow. So a lot of Bulldog talk on Sports Talk Mississippi with me and Michael Borky. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen and watch all your favorite Super Talk Mississippi shows
live and on demand.
Listen to tons of music. Plus, get the latest breaking news from across the state with the Super Talk Mississippi app.
The Super Talk Mississippi app.
Download the Super Talk app on your iPhone or Android device now
for free.
Just search Super Talk Mississippi in your app store on your mobile device to get everything Mississippi all in one place. The Super Talk Mississippi app. Get it now.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.